Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's that time here in Spain where we talk to Brett Hansen, a Brevin Sank senior partner. How are you doing today, Brett?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. How about yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Well, we're going to discuss the latest UK tax increases and if they're relevant for British expatriates here in Spain. But Brett, a few weeks ago, in a two-part interview with yourself and Chris McCann, we discussed the potential for tax rises in the UK and Spain. Can you remind listeners why you think tax rises are on the cards?
Yes, certainly, Howard. So the problem which many governments around the world face is the huge amount of government debt which has come about from the financial support they have provided their citizens during the pandemic on such schemes as furlough and grants. It would be wrong to say that all of this debt is because of the pandemic, as many developed nations such as the UK and the US were already sitting on deficits and still requiring solutions for example, increasing social care costs. You may recall, Howard, that prior to coming to power, Boris Johnson promised to fix the social care funding crisis, which has an estimated annual cost of around £10 billion. And this is still a situation which needs to be resolved. The UK budget deficit already stands at just shy of £2.5 billion. And the US budget deficit is around $3 trillion and has more than tripled in the last couple of years. So governments over the coming years will need to find money in order to reduce their deficits. And one school of thought in combating this is to raise taxes. And whilst there is a difficult balancing act to be achieved with regards to finding ways to increase revenue and also ensure that they retain public support, we have already seen in the UK the government make some announcements recently with regards to tax increases.
Yeah, one aspect we discussed was the UK state pension triple lock and whether the UK government would change this or not. And this month they did announce a change for next year. So what's happened?
So in our broadcast around a month ago, I was talking about the UK state pensions triple lock. And for any listeners who are not familiar with this, the UK state pension increases every year by whatever is the highest of the following three measures: the consumer price measure of inflation, the increase in average wages, or 2.5%. And it is because the UK state pension increases by whichever is the highest of these three measures that this annual increase is referred to as the triple lock. Now, when we discussed this, Howard, more as an aside to the main topic, I had said that there had been speculation that the UK Chancellor may tinker with this triple lock and that politically, whilst it would be a brave move for the Chancellor to dilute this measure, it was an option. In fact, at around the time of our broadcast on this subject, he had talked about wanting to see fairness for pensioners and taxpayers, which did lead some to suggest that this was an option being considered. And they were right in that on the 7th of September, the UK government announced that it will temporarily be suspending this triple lock next year due to the spike in average earnings, which was the second of the three measures I mentioned. So to clarify, the government will suspend the triple lock for 2022 to 2023, with the rise in the UK state pension being the higher of either the consumer price index measure of inflation, or 2.5%. They will not be including the increase in wages measure. This will mean that the UK state pension will not rise by the 8% predicted next April because of the surge in the annual wage growth, but may still increase at around 3 to 4%. And it's estimated that this move will save the UK Treasury around £4 billion.
Do expatriates who are not tax resident in the UK continue to benefit from the triple lock and the annual state pension increases?
This is a good question, Howard. So first of all, if you are eligible to the UK state pension or are going to be eligible to it in the future, then living in Europe does not mean that you will no longer be entitled to claim it. So anyone who has moved to Spain or are thinking of moving to Spain will still be entitled to claim their UK state pension once they have attained the required retirement age. There were initially some concerns that after Brexit, UK expatriates living in Europe were going to have their UK state pensions frozen and no longer receive the annual increase, just like those British expatriates living in places such as Australia and Canada are not entitled to the annual increase. But the Department for Work and Pensions have since confirmed that the UK government will still uprate or increase the UK state pension each year for those living in the EU, though only until March 2023. There has not yet been any confirmation of what will happen to the annual increase thereafter.
Well, the UK government announced other tax increases this month. What reason did they give, and how much is national insurance increasing by?
Well, the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, announced on the 7th of September that the government will raise national insurance contributions by 1.25% in order to help tackle the spiralling NHS waiting lists and social care costs in the wake of the pandemic. Now, a 1.25% rise means that someone on a salary of £30,000 will pay an additional £255 per year in national insurance contributions, while someone on a salary of, say, £100,000 will pay an additional £1,130 per year. This increase, which will come into force in April 2022, applies to both the employee and the employer's contributions. And from 2023 to 2024, it will appear on payslips as a new health and social care levy. In fact, from 2023 to 2024, it will also be levied on those who are still in work over the state pension age.
And what about dividends?
Well, in addition to the 1.25% increase in national insurance contributions, the UK government have also announced that tax on dividend income will also increase by 1.25% above the £2,000 allowance. This means that a basic rate taxpayer will now pay 8.75%, higher rate taxpayers will pay 33.75%, and additional rate taxpayers will pay 39.35%. And the aim of the increases in both the national insurance contributions and this tax on dividends is to raise more than £26 billion over the next 3 years. What is also, dare I say, interesting is that the Institute of Fiscal Studies have crunched the numbers and they now put the overall tax burden on a UK tax resident at a 70-year high. This overall tax burden is the amount of tax an individual pays when all taxes such as income tax, national insurance contributions, VAT are taken into account and added together. And they have come up with the overall figure now being 35%. So a 70-year high, but still lower than a number of EU countries such as France, Germany and Italy.
Can UK taxpayers expect to see more tax rises over the coming years? And do they affect expatriates?
Yeah, I mean, I do believe that there is the possibility of further tax increases in the UK over the coming years. And we still have the Chancellor's budget and 3-year spending review taking place on the 27th of October. Whilst most UK expatriates living in Spain should not be overly affected by increases in taxes in the UK, because their tax liabilities are largely dependent upon the tax rules and rates set by Spain and not the UK, There are a few possible increases, I guess, which the UK could implement in the future, which may have an impact on them. And some, if appropriate planning is taken now, may be avoidable. For example, for those with pension funds, there has been speculation that the lifetime allowance may be further reduced. Now, the lifetime allowance is the limit on how much you can build up your pension benefits over your lifetime while still enjoying the full tax benefits from them. If you go over the allowance, you'll generally pay a tax charge on the excess at certain times, which is charged at 25% if the excess is taken as a pension income, or 35% if taken as a lump sum. Now, the current lifetime allowance is just over £1 million, but there has been recent press speculation in the UK suggesting that one option being considered is potentially cutting this lifetime allowance down to around 800 or 900,000. Another possible tax increase or change which could affect British expatriates living in Spain is if the UK's overseas transfer charge, which is a 25% tax charge which is applied when pensions are transferred outside of Europe, were to start applying to pension transfers made within Europe. Obviously, Howard, nobody can know what the Chancellor will do until he announces it, but waiting for an official announcement may mean that your listeners miss the opportunity to take action under current rules or have less time to react. And so if your listeners haven't reviewed their financial affairs recently with an advisor, now may be an excellent time to do so.
And what about here in Spain? The government here, like every other country, will have considerable debts from the pandemic years. But do you think they'll have to increase taxes too?
I think so. I think due to increases in government debt as a result of this pandemic, there will be tax increases in Spain, like there will be tax increases across much of the developed world. You may recall, Howard, us talking earlier in the year about a report which the Spanish government produced and presented to the EU, proposing a number of tax increases in the years ahead as a means to obtaining financial aid from the EU to cover the costs of this pandemic. Spain has also the same demographic issues which faces the majority of the developed countries around the world, where we have an ever-increasing proportion of the population retired against a decreasing proportion in work, and the retired proportion is living longer than ever before. We did see some increases in taxes in the Spanish general budget for 2021, in fact the first Spanish state budget to be passed since 2018, though these increases primarily affected the very wealthy. We saw general income tax rates increase, primarily for those with income greater than €300,000 per annum. We saw a new tax band of 26% introduced for savings income on income and capital gains of €200,000 per annum. And we saw a state wealth tax hike for those with assets in excess of €10.7 million. So I'm afraid the answer is yes, I do see tax increases or further tax increases in the future.
Bearing that in mind, does Spain continue to provide compliant tax planning opportunities?
It does, Howard, yes. For example, there is a tax compliance solution for Spanish residents who have savings and investments, which allows for them to grow free of income and capital gains tax in Spain, and to be able to take withdrawals of capital, growth or income from them at reduced rates of tax. Any tax due on the withdrawal or income is calculated by the provider and sent automatically to the Spanish tax authorities. And these solutions do not need to be declared on the Modelo 720 overseas asset declaration, thereby keeping things administratively simple as well as being tax efficient. This is just one of a number of tax planning solutions available, and there is no doubt that with careful planning, in most cases, we are able to structure our clients' investments, assets and pensions in order to minimise taxes in both the UK and Spain, and for our clients to be appropriately invested to best achieve their aspirations and objectives. So Howard, if any of your listeners would like to get in touch with their local Blevins Franks office, where they can talk to a partner, either face-to-face or because of COVID, via a video call, then probably the best way to make contact is to visit our website, BlevinsFranks.com.
And the website is a mine of information, is it not?
It is, and you know, we are here to discuss your listeners' concerns and objectives and to consider the possible solutions to these so that they can enjoy living in Spain, having peace of mind and the feeling of security when it comes to their hard-earned wealth.
Well, topical as always, we'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thanks, Howard. Look forward to it.